based upon, of course, the passage in Genesis chapter 22. If you would, go back with me to the book of Exodus and the 33rd chapter. Our subject this morning is Moses, the mediator. Moses, the mediator. Again, let's ask for God's blessings. Lord, as we meet together this hour, we ask for your presence. Lord, as Moses said to the Lord, said to you, so many hundreds and hundreds of years ago, if thy presence go not with us, we go no further. This is where we stop. Oh, to have the glorious presence of Jehovah with us, and we believe, Father, your word, where you said through your Son, where two or three are gathered together, I'll be in the midst. So believing that you're with us, believing that we have the very gospel of your grace to set forth to these dear folks, Lord, we shall continue and ask for your grace to not only bless the speaker, but to bless each of the hearers, those who are gathered here, and those who are watching the live stream. Lord, we need you every hour. And this is indeed the hour of our need for sure right now. So bless and magnify your name for Jesus' sake. Amen. The people of Israel had done something awful. They had insisted that Aaron make a golden calf, and they worshipped that golden calf, and God was angry. In fact, he told Moses in the 32nd chapter, he said, My wrath has waxed very hot against these people. The Lord speaking in language that we can understand, in essence said, I'm very upset over this. Of course, God doesn't have emotions like we do. But he said, I'm pushed to vengeance. And therefore, he told the children of Israel, I'll go with you no further. This is a breach between you and me. You've done this very horrible thing, and now we're separated. If I go with you, my very presence will kill you. So I'll go no further. I'll send mine angel with you. That's the angel of the covenant. That's the Lord Jesus, the messenger from God, the messenger of grace. The Savior would go with them. In fact, the Lord had made that promise to Israel several chapters back. He said, I'll send my angel with you. So the angel of God is going to accompany them. Now, in this chapter, we discover that Moses and the Lord meet two times. The first time that they met is when Moses went into the tabernacle to give the people a real vivid awareness of the awfulness, the very seriousness of their breach, of their sin against God. The Lord tells Moses, you take that temporary tabernacle. There was a tent in the middle of the congregation of Israel where people would come out and worship God there. And Moses would meet with the Lord there to receive instructions pertaining to the people and pertaining to the things that needed to be done in Israel. But God told Moses, you move that tabernacle outside the camp of Israel. I'm not even going to stay among them. And that was just another indication of God's anger over what they had done. And Moses went out to that tabernacle to meet with God. And he went out two times. The very first time he went out, as he entered in, all of the rest of Israel watched as he entered into the door of that tent. And then they beheld the presence of God indicated by a cloud. That cloud came down in front of the tabernacle, that temporary tabernacle. And Moses and God met. There is no record of what was said between each other. There is no record of what happened when Moses was in that tent with God. But all the people were very interested in that meeting. In fact, the Word of God says every man stood at his tent door and they watched. They watched as their representative, their mediator, went in. And then they watched as that cloud indicated the presence of God. That cloud, it came down. It had departed from them for a little while. And then it came down. That cloud stood in front of the door. And there's God and Moses together. We have no indication of what was said, what happened inside the tabernacle. That leads me to think of another representative, another mediator. That's our mediator, Christ Jesus. And he and God met upon Mount Calvary. And God didn't, He didn't send the cloud that day. He just put his hand over the sun. And nobody saw. Nobody could enter in fully to what happened when God and our mediator met together. Words are insufficient to fully set forth that meeting. It was a meeting of justice falling on the representative of the sinful. I remind you that in this story here in chapter 33, Moses was not guilty of the transgressions of the people. He was not a worshiper of the golden calf. He had no part in the transgression. But he willingly numbered himself among the people. And he was their representative, even so. Our Lord Jesus, though absolutely innocent of any idolatry, any blasphemy, any offense against God's justice, but representing all of his people, representing you, representing you, representing you, representing you, you, me, all of his children, our Lord Jesus, he took it on himself to meet with God and to be dealt with in the most severest way by God's justice. Oh, we hear just a little bit of what happened on that cross of Calvary when the Savior lifted up His voice and said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And Isaiah tells us He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on Him, and with His stripes we're healed. Our God and our great mediator, our great high priest, met together. And a glorious transaction took place. As He fully paid the sin debt of all of us. But there's another meeting then that took place between Moses and the Lord. And if you aren't very careful, you'll kind of read right over it. We know Moses came out of that tabernacle. The Scripture says so. Notice in verse 11. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And then Moses, he turned again into the camp. In other words, he left that tabernacle. That meeting is over. That meeting has ended. Be it known to you and all the world, the meeting upon Mount Calvary, it forever settled the issue of our salvation. That death put away all of the transgressions of God's people. That death established righteousness for us. We are right with God because of our Savior who stood between us and a God who is justly angry with us over our sins. His justice was offended. Our Lord Jesus made things right. That's what He did. He made things right with God. He paid a debt that He Himself did not owe, except in the fact that God charged it to His account. And therefore He died in our stead. And He came out. Like Moses came out of meeting with God, our Lord Jesus, He came out, He arose again. He arose. So Moses turns again to the camp. Notice verse 12, though. And Moses said unto the Lord. So here's what we can understand. This is understood, though not stated. Between verses 11 and 12, Moses goes back to the tabernacle because that's where God met with him. Remember, that tabernacle is a picture of our Lord Jesus. And God will not meet with, He won't even speak to anybody, not even Moses, except through a mediator. And so Moses goes back to the tabernacle. You want to meet with God? Oh, hear me, dear sinner friend. You want to meet with a holy God? You've got to get to the tabernacle. You've got to get to Christ Jesus. There's no other meeting place for poor, guilty souls like you and me. No other meeting place with a holy, just God except in the tabernacle of God, that is Christ Jesus. This Word who was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We meet with God in the Word who was manifest in the flesh, the Word who tabernacled in the flesh. That's where you meet with God. You don't meet with God in a denomination. You don't meet with God at an earthly altar that some people call the table in front of the auditorium of a religious establishment. You meet with God in a person, Christ the Lord. So Moses, having come out of that tabernacle, which I think pictures the resurrection of our Lord Jesus, he now, in verse number 12, he goes back in. He goes back in. And as he goes back in, I'm reminded of this. Our Lord Jesus, who left heaven's glory and came to this earth and then entered into the darkness to deal with God on behalf of the guilty sinners that we are, our Lord Jesus, who lived, died, and arose again, he's gone back to God. He's gone back to God. And he's the mediator. He's the exalted great high priest of all of God's people. He represents us. Think of it as a man in heaven, the God-man. And though he died, he came back. And then he has now ascended back to heaven. 40 days after his death, he ascended back to heaven. There to represent us. And beginning in verse 12, here's Moses as the intercessor. Or as the mediator. Our Lord Jesus, you see, when he ascended back to glory, his ministry now is a ministry of intercession. He's the go-between. He's the mediator. And Moses said to the Lord, he dares to speak to God. Isn't it amazing that you and I, who are by nature sinful people, we are welcomed at the throne of grace. Moses, by nature, he's just like us. He's a sinful man, and during his ministry we see him as a rebel sometimes. But he could speak to God. And he spoke to God the same way that you and I speak to God, through this mighty mediator. And Moses said to the Lord, he said, "See, Lord, you said to me, bring up this people." That's how you phrased it, Lord. This people. This people. Notice a little further down in verse 13, though, the last statement. "Consider, Lord, that this nation, and not just this people, they're your people." That's what he said. This is how he appealed to God. They're not just a bunch of random people. They're not a people who belong to nobody. Lord, they're your people. They're the people for whom the sacrifice has been offered. Because you remember at the end of chapter 32, Moses made atonement for the people. Lord, they're not merely this people, and they're certainly not my people. It's interesting over in chapter 32 when the Lord appears to Moses and tells him that what the children of Israel are doing. The Lord said, "Thy people are down there acting like a bunch of fools, thy people." You know what Moses said? "They're your people, Lord." How long have we been the Lord's people? Always. It was for his people that the Savior came into the world. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people." They're not just this people. They're not Moses' people. Lord, they're thy people. You chose them. You bought them. You called them. You've preserved them. You've loved them. They're your people. Your people. And Moses, he emphasizes the fact God had been gracious to him and to them. Notice how many times the word grace or a form of it is used in verse, first of all, verse 12. Right at the end, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Lord, that's what you said. You said I found grace in your sight. Verse 13, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, would you show me or manifest to me thy way? That I may know thee. You can't know God unless he teaches you the way. You want to know God? This is life eternal, to know God and Jesus Christ whom God has sent. Want to know God? We better find out the way to God. And the way to God is a living person, Christ the Lord. John 14:6. He says, show me or manifest to me now thy way that I may know thee. I want to know you, Lord. Like Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, I want to know you in the power of the resurrection of Christ. That I may find grace in thy sight. And consider, Lord, think about this. Let me remind you, Lord, that's what he's saying. This nation is thy people. Moses said, I want to know the way. Show me the way. And the Lord said in verse 14, my presence shall go with thee. I'll give you rest. And Moses said this in verse 15. He said to God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. We just stop right here. If your presence isn't with us, and no need to take no step. Well over seven years ago now, I was contacted by this congregation about if I would consider coming to be your pastor. And that was a matter about which I prayed very, very much because we was quite contented with where we were. And Nancy had just gone on disability. She had wasn't able to teach anymore. And that was fine. We were fine with that and fine where we were. And then, kind of out of the blue, so to speak, this was presented to me. And as I prayed about it, and then I finally got peace about it, this is what I asked God for. This is what I prayed. Lord, if thy presence go not with me, I'm not going. And I'll tell you something else. Before I come up on this platform to preach to you, that's still my prayer. If thy presence go not with me, I don't want to climb these couple of stairs. And could I say this to each of you? Before you enter into these doors, before you enter into this congregation, to be a member of this congregation, that should also be your prayer. Even before you leave the house, Lord, if thy presence go not with me, what's the use in going? What's the use in us meeting if God's presence isn't here? Well, we'd be just like all the goat pastures around here. All the false religious edifices would be just like them. where God is exalted, where Christ and Him crucified, buried, risen, and exalted, where He's not magnified. We'd be like everybody else. Lord, if Your presence doesn't go with us, what's the use in us even existing? Don't you agree with that? What's the use in us existing? I saw one of the signs riding down the road the other day, big church downtown, healing service. And of course they have served, have your pets blessed. And bless your bites. I want us to be blessed. I want us to do something for us, and I tell you, nothing of any eternal value will ever be done unless God's presence is here. And you know that's true. And Moses continues in verse 16. He said, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight?" Lord, we've talked about being your people as we pass through various nations. We've told them, listen, God's been gracious to us. God's been merciful to us. He redeemed us out of Egyptian bondage. Lord, if you don't go with us, all that we've said is meaningless. Lord, surely you'll go with us. I tell you what, those words that God spoke, they rang out in the heart and mind of Moses. God said, "I'm not going with you." That's a dagger in the heart of God's servant. Oh, God, if you don't go with us, you said you're not going. Oh, Lord, please, please go with us. Go with us. And God said there in verse 14, "My presence will go with you." You know, to me, this is Moses. He's an intercessor here. He's a mediator. On behalf of all the children of Israel, Lord, I know what you said. But we need you to go with us. We don't deserve it. We're not worthy of your presence. But if you would you go with us? And the Lord said to Moses, verse 17. This is a man who prevailed in prayer. "I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken." Don't you think? To me, that's kind of the way Moses would feel. That's the way I'd feel. Whew. I'm so concerned. I'm sure that's what's going through Moses' mind. And God said, here's the reason. Because of my grace. There it is again. There's that grace. It's because of your grace, Lord, that this is happening. And God said, and I know you by name. I know you by name. Because he wrote the name of Moses down in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world began. I know your name. And then Moses, he kind of collected himself. And he asked this. If it's me, if I'd been Moses, I'd kind of clear my throat and straighten myself up, you know. Because this next request, it's one thing to ask for the way. Lord, show us your way. And the way is Christ. It's the way of grace. But it's another thing to make this request. This is daring. I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I want to see your glory. That's one of the most daring requests, maybe the most daring prayer petition in all the Word of God. Show me thy glory. And God said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. The goodness of God is seen in creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. It's what the psalmist said. Providence shows the glory of God. God moving all things in the direction that He would have them to go according to His own eternal purpose. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory both now and forever. There's the glory of God in creation and the glory of God in providence. But His true goodness, all of His goodness, is seen in salvation. And so here's what the Lord said to him. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. And I'll show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. That's my glory. You argue against sovereign grace, God choosing a people unto salvation, you have trouble with that. God said, that's my glory now. You mess with my glory. Leave that alone. Now, you may not be happy with the weather God sends. That's one thing. That's discontent. That's certainly not good. But if you're upset and you disagree with the way God saves sinners, that's a serious issue right there now. Because now you're messing with His glory. Now you can't rob Him of His glory. God's going to be glorious no matter what happens to you and no matter what happens to me. But He said, that's my glory. My sovereign grace and my sovereign mercy. And it's wrapped up in the eternal purpose of God. At verse 20, God said, you can't see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. The Lord said, but, verse 21, behold, Moses, there's a place right beside me. Where is the Son of God? At the right hand of the Majesty on the high. There's a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. That rock is Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. No doubt about that. And it shall come to pass while my glory passes by. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. I've made a wound in the rock. I've made a hole in the rock. And when my glory passes by, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. And the word put means to lay hands on and move from one place to another. That's what effectual grace is. It's God putting His hands on you, not in anger, not in wrath, not in malice, but in irresistible, effectual, sovereign, saving grace. And He puts you in that one who was wounded for our transgressions, as I quoted a little bit ago. His side was wounded. And the Lord puts us in the smitten Savior, and we find safety. And God says in verse 23, "And then I'll take my hand away, and you'll see my back parts, but you can't see my face." You know when we will see His face? When we get to glory. Well, Jim, what's meant by the back part? You'll see my back parts. As a person walks away from you, let's say you're looking at me from over here, one of the last things you'll see is my heel. There it goes. When the Lord says, "You'll see my back part, you'll see my heel," Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. "The seed of the woman will bruise the serpent's head." Fatal blow. And you know what the serpent will do? Bruise his heel. That's the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to see the glory of God? Behold that man who came to this earth. Behold him wounded, bruised, and smitten. Behold his sufferings upon the cross of Calvary. His heel. And consider, he suffered all that he did for his people. Moses the mediator. And he represents our Lord Jesus in that first visit in the tabernacle. That secretive visit. And in that second visit with the Father. As he is our intercessor, our advocate, our go-between, our mediator. And to those of you who know not our God, Christ is the way. Oh, that God would enable you to run to the great Savior of sinners. And here's what's got to happen. He'll have to pick you up, as it were, and put you in Him. Save you by His grace. That's almighty grace. That's what it takes to save us, isn't it? Almighty free grace. Well, let's sing 489.